Okay, we'll meditate. Start by watching your breath. Try to focus just on your breath coming in and out. And I'd like you to focus at a spot behind your heart. So start at your heart and go back towards your spine. This is a very difficult place to focus. As most of you know, there are three knots there in the channels. And the chakra there is very tight, and it's very hard even to keep your focus on that area. It will slide off. It will go up or down the body. You will have difficulty trying to find the chakra here. Behind your heart, just in front of your spine, explore the area. It'll be a little hard, and you have to go gently. And see if you can find a bump or a ball. Go up and down, go a little bit side to side with your mind, slide across that area. Try to find the place where the mat is. We'll do a few minutes like that. Don't try too hard. This is not a place that you should push at the heart. It's very difficult place, and if you push, it'll make you nervous, or it'll cause some problems. So it's like your knees in yoga. Go very gently through this area and see if you can find a bump or a knot where the chakra is. Now try to put your mind, try to pierce the ball or the chakra with your mind. Try to get inside the knot that's formed by the channels. See if you can keep your mind on like a pinpoint in the middle of the sphere, which is the chakra, behind your heart, just in front of your spine. Gently, calmly, quietly, Now try to picture within the chakra, at the center of the chakra, like crystal in a geode, glass, liquid glass, clear, gleaming drops of crystal glass that seep through the chakra like water through a crevice in stone. Now on your exhales, try to see a trickle of liquid glass, clear, gleaming, sparkling glass, liquid, flowing down. You can think of your spine from behind your heart down to between your legs. And on the exhale, see this stream trickle down. On the inhale, see it trickle up. And try more to feel the feeling of the stream passing down your spine than the image of it visually. Try to feel it moving up and down the spine with your breath. Please bring your mind back to your breath. And then, as you like, open your eyes. Stretch. I just noticed there's part of our class five that I didn't read the Tibetan for in Phoenix, so I'll do that. We might not finish six tonight, but we'll finish it tomorrow. So I'm gonna, this is the part I like. I mean, I like the Tibetan. I grew up with it. I'll read the Tibetan, then I'll translate it for you, and then I'll blah blah about it. And you're a captive audience and you can't say anything. This is like my dream. Okay. Deyan Lanim Che Chungi Sache So Mangyang. There are many Lamrim texts. And there are, inside those texts, there are many ways of... Sache means outline. There are many ways of presenting the topics of the Lamrim. Rang Kangi Teng Ne Tobe Sache Shir Che Ne Kyong Gu. But each individual person, what do you call it? Baby Lama, you're all baby Lamas, okay? Each baby Lama will hear it the first time from their teacher. And then you should use that presentation, that order. But the circumstances of your own training were that you heard it from somebody and you should keep that particular order, okay? Dalam daki kyabje lama rinpoche chakshe nyolam tsol sung tok. The outline I will use, meaning Pabongkwa Rinpoche in 1921, right, is that of my kyabje lama rinpoche. Dakpo Jampa Sundu, okay, his own teacher, his own heart teacher, Dakpo Jampa Sundu. Okay, I'm going to use the one that he taught me. Chakshe Nyurlam, which is mainly based on the quick path, which is one of the, what was it, number six, I think, six or seven. But it's one of the eight great Lamrim texts, okay? Mengag tu me gyen be sache di lun yukir kupa me kyang. This particular ordering of the parts of the engine has never been written down. It's been an oral tradition up until 1921.
Okay.
He was insistent during public teachings that we should learn it this way. And then Gerda Charne Shuasoki, and when I met him, when I would meet him privately for teaching or talk, Tsumba Chemba Chochi to Digne, he made great efforts to formalize this, write it down for me and for us. Yekar Kupa, he put it into writing. Dishin Gendu Tsamshing Nyongwa Dunluki Kyecho Shendam Ndawa Ne Mangdu Yope. I personally have found that the length of his presentation fits me and my other friends. And I appreciate that he was speaking from his own experience. So his presentation was based on his own personal spiritual experiences. There are many mamas, harta, there are many crucial points, secret crucial points to his presentation. Di teng ne shuna. And so I'm going to teach you the Lamrim based on his presentation, which is the way it should be. He's teaching his Lama's presentation. Okay. De la pel nalende kepa namni lopun ki nga dabada nomi gi dabada sheje che dabate. The masters of Nalanda Monastery, which is, I don't know, those of you who went to hear His Holiness in Bodh Gaya, right? When was that? 1999 or something. The Moors had a wonderful time there. Between the bandits and the diarrhea and, okay, getting mugged by bandits. And, okay. But anyway, it's not far from Bodh Gaya. It's 55 miles from Patna. Khepa Namni Lopangi, the masters of Nalanda Monastery 1,000 years ago, they said, they said, as I said earlier today, their presentation was the speech of the teacher should be pure, the thoughts of the disciple should be pure, and the Dharma that is taught should be pure. There should be three purities. They spoke of Lam Rim in, and the structure of the Lam Rim in terms of three purities. Okay, Dapasim Gonachela, Brik Kamala Srila, which is Vikamana Srila, right? Khepa Namni Chö Tsongpa Po Chewadang, Chöki Chewadang, Jito She Ching Nyenbe Tsu Sum Ngundu Kyo Chewa Shepe Tsu. Then there was another custom that grew up at the Vikramala Srila Monastery, where Lord, but that's where Lord Atisha came from 1,000 years ago. He was one of the important teachers at that monastery 1,000 years ago. They said that the structure of the Lam Rim teaching should follow number one, the greatness of the person who composed it or the person who taught it. The founder should be special. Secondly, Chöki Chewa, the Dharma which they teach should be special. Jita She Ching Nyambe So Sum. And then there should be a special attention paid to the proper way to transmit it. How should the disciple act? How should the teacher act? Okay? The teacher acting with integrity. The disciple acting with respect. Okay? These two things. They emphasize that approach. Nile, of these two approaches, the approach of ancient Nalanda Monastery and the approach of ancient Vikramala Srila Monastery, who was a big shot at Nalanda? You can't say, right? Naropa, okay? Niguma's partner, he was the abbot of Nalanda, okay? And that's where all the trouble started. But that's another story. We will be following the system of Vikramala Srila, which is where Lord Atisha came from, rather than Nalanda. Chanju Langa Rinpe Chi La Shi. So there are four classical divisions of the Lam Rim. Chukun Sumba Tenpe Chir. In order that the disciple should know that this is an authoritative teaching, authentic teaching. Zepa Po Chewa. We should talk about how special the founder of the tradition was. In this case, Lord Atisha. So that you gain a respect that, oh, this teaching is authentic. Okay? Number one. Dangan lo guba kebe chu chuki chewa. In order that the disciple should come to appreciate the teaching, we should describe what's so special about this teaching. What can it do for you? Okay? If you sit through a Lam Rim, 10 days of Lam Rim, what's supposed to happen to you? Like, we know what's going to happen with the flush, right? I'm supposed to give you a break every hour or something. I didn't personally have any reaction yet, but maybe I shouldn't brag about it. But what's going to happen if you sit here for 10 days and hear these ideas? Then what will happen to you? That's Chöki Chewa. Chewa ni nengi chula nyan shi jida chawai tsu. What's the proper way to teach and to learn this instruction, which has those two specialnesses of the founder and of the Dharma itself, right? Dhamma ngoki loma la jita chiwe wimba dan shiwo. And then how do you actually, what are the Lam Rims? I mean, that, by the way, that's 90% of the text. The other three are only like the first 10 pages or something, okay? Sache shivo di Lam Rim chem is sache yin shing. These four great divisions of the Lam Rim are based on Jetsun Kapa's huge Lam Rim. It's called Lam Rim Chamo. Maybe they should call it the huge Lam Rim, which came 600 years ago. He wrote it, I think, in 1409. Okay. Denyer soklarmim gedu jinda shi chekyan di mena. Sorry. Sachi, yeah. Denyer soklarmim gedu jinda shi chekyan di mena nyepa mi kepe. It doesn't matter which of the eight lamrim teachings you use. You could use delam, path to bliss. You could use nirlam, quick path, etc. Longer or shorter presentations, but the mena, if these four points aren't complete, what? The founder should be cool. The teaching should be cool. The way it's passed on should be cool. And then you should teach it. Okay? If these four are not complete, then nyepa mike, the disciple won't be attracted to it. You see? You have to explain why is it special to them. Or else they won't be attracted to it. Togmar jargupa. Therefore, everyone who ever teaches Lamrim, they should start out by describing how cool the people who started it are. Okay? Why is it authentic? Sungyun du yu. This is the tradition of our lineage. Okay? This is the tradition of our lineage. Dena tomar, therefore, here at the beginning, chukum tsumba temechir, zepapo chewani, I'm going to tell you how cool the life of the founder of this particular lineage was, so that you will appreciate that this has an authentic source. Okay? Deyan kasa shibatar, nyamsu langje chirni gyagar kepe lukshin tumba sangye kitsum. As I said yesterday, an authentic teaching of this tradition, right, should have been, according to our lineage, it should have been spoken by a holy being, such as Lord Buddha, okay? That whatever dharma you're going to spend your time on, whatever path you're going to spend your time on, it should come from an authentic source way back, okay? Pandita tena pap. And then people should have clarified it for each generation in their own movies, right? Drupe wanchu namki gomne nyamtok tugula tumba shi ga. And those, what do you call it? Those geniuses of spiritual practice. He calls Ishvara. Those Ishvaras of spiritual practice. Those gods, the very gods of successful practice. They should have put it into practice, and cool things should have happened to them. Like, you know, all right? They must have real examples of real-life people who practice this teaching. It has an authentic source. It's been passed on in skillful ways in each generation. And then there should be examples of people who something cool happened to them, all right, by practicing it. Good. You need it. Rangi ngune kyan depa dan she tsung ki miyong we kar. But if rather you take people who are having trouble believing in the teaching, and then they don't have the intellectual capacity for the teaching, and then they don't have the, what do you call it? Effort. All right? If they're having trouble with those three things, believing in it, understanding it, making effort. And then on top of that, or even if they do, but on top of that, you pile chukyang taranshik nyamsalangna. You give them you teach them a path which doesn't work. Okay? Tarnang means doesn't, it just doesn't work. Okay? Shik nyamsalangna. And then they work on it, and they try it, and they put some effort into it. Devo kayam in jung. Nothing will happen. They won't get anywhere. Okay? Shirab dang, tsundu jian mambo chusu su sowa tongchu dar yin. We see people who had great effort. We see people who had intelligence. And then they applied themselves to some kind of wacky path. And nothing happened. Chusu means they wasted their time. Their precious, irreplaceable life, human life. They wasted it. Tongchu dar yin. This is... We can see real examples of this in our life. We meet people like that. I meet people like that all the time. You know, they come to me and they say, I met people who I knew in 1975, when I went to study with Ken Rinpoche. And these people went for the first week and they left. And then 35 years later, 36 years later, they come back to me and they're like, I messed up. You know, look how happy you are. Look how your life turned out. And I left, you know, and they're sad. It's a sad thing, you know. Say I wasted 35 years. You know, I went off and did some weird thing, you know, and I didn't get, nothing happened to me, and I'm unhappy and I'm old. Shende sabda ma wai danga dhag nang sao jita yin yang ngar shibta raya dhutab dhada. A lot of people on a Buddhist path especially, they hear there are secret practices. You know, like Maha Mudra or Dzogchen or some other sexy thing. Dag Nang Sok, some kind of... Dag Nang means that it's like an attempt to believe you're already in heaven or something like that, which is a good practice if you're prepared for it properly. So, Jita Yin Yang, Narshibhita Hai Dupta Da, you can do practices to meet certain angels. And you can do all kinds of letso. Letso means tantric rituals. And there are books of tantric rituals called letso. And they're beautiful. The Vajrayogini letso is like this thing. And it has 100 practices that I never told you about. And someday we should do it. It was printed at Ganden most recently. And it's a beautiful thing. And we should try it sometime. When we have free time. Sota dupe tapsamne nam kitso nam sim na nyawa dunu tachi. But you have people attempting those practices who haven't even ever heard of the three principal paths. You say, are you aware that life is a problem? They're like, huh? And then you're like, did you ever hear that you're supposed to help everybody else out who has this problem? They're like, uh-uh. And then you're like, did anybody ever teach you the pen thing? And they're like, pen thing? And then you say, you want to practice thunder, right? And they're like, yeah. That's like, I don't know. That's like, you want to fly a plane, but you, I don't know. There's no steering wheel or something. You know what I mean? Like that. Sungkyung Gunjung Kepa, not only have they never had any personal experience of the three principal paths, they don't know what the three jewels are. Okay. So we have these community centers called Three Jewels in Tucson, Vancouver, New York, etc. Right? And there's a way to identify the three jewels. Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Now, what is that? Buddha gam gachami, sangam gachami. You know, they say it all over the world. In every Buddhist country, they say, how's it? I don't remember how it goes. Anyway. Sharanam gachami. And then you say, what are you praying to? And they say, the three jewels, you know. And you say, who are they? And they say, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. And they say, what are those things? And they say, I don't know. I think it's some statue, you know. Some statue I saw. You know, like that Dharma is the book and Sangha is the people. And they have no idea about Aryas and emptiness and the idea that real refuge in the Dharma would be when your wife criticizes you, you realize she's coming from you. That's refuge. They have no clue about that. They're just praying to some statue. Okay? Like, okay? That's what he's talking about. Shikyamanjum. Dena dir chugol Chugo Kangla Tugabatar. Tibet is laced with streams and rivers because they are surrounded by the Himalaya mountains and the snow melts. Okay. And you know, that it's the fountainhead of the four great rivers of the world. I mean, the Mekong and the Chinese one? Yangtze and the Ganga. And somebody else, the one that goes through Afghanistan. Anyway, it's the fountainhead of the four great rivers of the world. They all start in the Himalayas, because there's a lot of snow there. So he said Dharma, a stream of Dharma should be traceable back to a fountainhead of snow. Okay. Tukgubatar, Chuki Goyan, Tumpa Sangyela, Tumpa Shigur. For a Buddhist teaching should ultimately trace back to Lord Buddha. It should be easily traceable back to an enlightened being. Okay. Dila Long Yu, Ching Gepa Che Shina, Tumpa Sangyene Sung. If you had time in a Lam Rim session like what we're doing this week, if you wanted to go into detail on this matter, then you should tell the disciples at this point, each generation, each of the 100 lamas, back to Lord Buddha. Okay? Gyawa gyatso rekta dorje chu, gyawa yuncho dorje nyajamu, gyase tu onaro tabesha, suwa desu nini. We memorize it in the monastery. We have to recite it every 2 weeks. We know the 100 teachers back to Lord Buddha, you know, and we know what they did and we know what they taught. And they said, if you have time, maybe you could go over it. So, you know, it would increase this book from 10 years to like 15, okay? I don't know. I don't think we have time. Gyupe Lama Kunki Lamdini Laten Ne Gopan Yepe Tso Kinamba Tarpa Che Gokyan. You should go into the personal life stories of every lama of the whole lineage of each generation and what cool stuff happened to them. Okay? You should go into that. Kyang, but Hajang Mengwe, it would be a little much. Okay? Hajang means Hajang. You can say, okay, I don't mind if you repeat Tibetan. Okay, say Hajang. Hajang Mengwe. Hajang means, come on, that's too much, man. Okay, he says too much. Okay, Hajang Mung. Shuma Kum. We don't have time for me to talk about that. That's Pabokum Riche talking. And I'm also saying that, okay? We don't have time for that. Dordutsam Shuna. But Pabokum Riche said, well, let's do a little bit. She Tumane Joy Par Gyupe Kamba Mindawa Nisu Jung Lukdang. And then he went off on a short description of the kabab. Kabab means the flow of the Dharma, of the word. Kabab means the flow of the word. From Buddha down to Lord Atisha. So in the original lectures in 1921, Pabokum Che, he gave a little summary of it. Okay. I made some lineage lama posters at great personal expense and trouble. They're here. Yeah. And I did a few of the lineages. I didn't do all of them. I did it from, I don't know, Buddha down to you. Buddha down to like Lama Marut or something. I don't remember who was on it. And they're great. And if you want, you can go get one of those posters. What we realized after printing them was that anyone who lived in New York couldn't use it because you can't unroll it in a New York apartment. But they're beautiful. I spent a lot of time on them, and they're very beautiful. And you have authentic drawings of each of the lamas of the lineage, and it's nice. Okay, you should look at it. Okay, so I'll refer you to those posters. And there are two great streams, and you know them: the emptiness stream and the compassion stream. At Lord Atisha, the two streams convene. Okay? At the Lama who brought this teaching to Tibet, the two great streams convene. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty important. They call Jo, okay? Say Jo. Atisha's name in Tibet is not Atisha. They call him Joel. Okay? Joel means the Lord. They just call him the Lord, and everybody knows who you're talking about. His Sanskrit name is Atisha, and the Tibetan translation of Atisha is Punto. For those of you who care, that's kind of fun. If you have Punto as one of your teachers, Venerable Punto, it means Atisha. Okay? It's one of the meanings of Atisha. Chikdes Jopu to Chantu Lam Dunze. So the Lord, Atisha, came to Tibet and he wrote a book called Changchu Lamki Drenma. Say Changchu Lamki Drenma. Bodhi Pat, say Bodhi Pata Pradipa. Who wrote a book, Pradipa? Hatha Yoga Pradipika, right? So you know the Pradipa, that's a lamp. It's a lamp meaning in a very dark night in the forest, but we're talking Grand Canyon, next to the Grand Canyon, and you've got to have a good flashlight. That's a Pradipika. That's the sense of Pradipika. It's not like a 60-watt bulb. It's like if you got one, you're not going to die on the way home. And if you don't got one, you're going to have a problem. You'll probably run into a bear or fall off a cliff. So the idea of a lamp, you know, it's a wimpy translation to call it a lamp, but it means the light that gets you home without dying. It's called Pradipa, Hatha Yoga Pradipika, Bodhipatta Pradipika. Patta means path. Path came from Patta. And then Bodhi means enlightenment. Okay, so he wrote a book called A Lamp, which you can use to illuminate the path back to enlightenment, through the dark to enlightenment. It's a very beautiful name, okay? I believe it's the only book in the Buddhist canon, the Tengya, that was written in Tibetan. You see what I mean? Everything else is translated from Sanskrit. And he wrote it in Tibetan for the Tibetans, but he was an Indian guru, right? He was an Indian pundit. But he came to Tibet and he struggled to write it in Tibetan for the Tibetans. Okay. Lamrim lamrim shepe mingi tanya kyan dene chung. And in Tibet, the use of the word lamrim or the name lamrim dates back to his first book, that first book. De chinche lamrim. After that came the idea, the terms lamrim or lamchok or tenrim, which we already covered. And I gave you some extra ones that came out through other scholars. Okay. Tamje ke shejatsawe shungden lamdun yimbe. But all of the lamrims that were ever written in Tibet, and there are probably a couple hundred, all of their source is the Bodhipatta Pradipika. Okay? They all go back to Atisha's original text, which is tiny, okay? It's not very big. I taught it once in New York, 100 years ago. Yimbe jo yang de nam dunki zepa songwe. So, what do you call it? Functionally, you can say, well, how do you say? We can say that actually all the lamrims in Tibet were composed by Atisha, because they all draw from Atisha. So functionally, or there's a word. You can say if you think of it. Practically speaking, he wrote all of the lamrims. All the lamrims were written by Atisha. Songwei, therefore, Je Dagni Chenpe Kyang. That's why Tsongkhapa said, De Zepapo Ni, Di Yang Zepapo O. That author is this author's. That author is this author also. This is, then I looked it up, okay? I looked up that quotation. He said it in the Lamrim Ding, in the medium length text that he wrote about the Lamrim. He made the statement, this is, the author of this text is the author of that text, okay? Then Pabokramache is using it to prove that essentially it's Atisha wrote all the lamrims in Tibet. But it's kind of cool that here's the full quotation. That's what I like to do. So I went through all the 100,000 books we have. We have a million pages in the computer database. We finished 5% of Tibetan literature. It will take 150 years more. But what we have is cool. So I put this book up here to impress you. And then I have the printout of this book, but I inserted hundreds of other books or hundreds of other explanations. And it's beautiful. They're really beautiful. So I went to that text and I found that quotation. Here's what it really says. So I'm going to keep doing that, okay? Because I like it. It's more fun for me. This Lam Rim is the advices that Maitreya gave to a Sangha. You see? Called the Ornament of Realizations, Abhisama Alankara. Kerpa Dodi Shungni Chanju Langi Dhamma Yimbe. That's in general. In general, this book is none less than the teaching by the coming Buddha. Okay? Kerpa Dodi Shungni. And this particular text I based on the writing of Atisha. Okay? Zepapo Ni De Zepapo Yang. Therefore, that author is this thing's author also. But he's saying both Atisha and Maitreya, okay? And not just Atisha. What he's trying to say is that the teaching you're about to get this week is derived from the next Buddha to come in this world. Okay? You are really getting a teaching from the next Buddha to come in this world. Okay, that's cool. All right. Therefore, at this point, we should go into the life story of Lord Atisha. Ma means, admittedly, we should present Lord Atisha's biography, since he's the real author of the Lam Rim. But, Detsam Michok. You know the word micho. Where have you heard the word micho? Huh? Yeah, micho me. God bless you. I'm so proud of you. I know, like, there's not one Tibetan in 1,000 that would understand that. There's only one place in hundreds of thousands of books where they say micho, and that's it's a nickname for the direct perception of emptiness, okay? And it means you don't got no more time, okay? You don't got no more time. Michok me, right? So he threw it in here. It's a pun. It's an, what do you call it when there's a joke between two people that nobody else understands? Inside joke. It's an inside joke, okay? Like any geshe would go, ha ha. Okay, Daitsan Michok. We don't have time. We don't Michok to have time to cover his whole biography. So Dordetsam Shu. So I'll give you just a short one. He says, I'll tell you just a short one. Okay? That's a good place to do a meditation because we're about to start a big subject. We're about to start the story of Lord Atisha's life. Okay, you ready? We'll do a little meditation. Please watch your breath. Try to stay in the present moment. Then the purpose of this retreat this week is to gain more energy in our lives, have more strength, vigor, energy. We'd like to use it in the short term to help people. And then to accomplish the immediate goals of our life. And then accomplish the greater goal of our life. So, but we need energy to do that, and it will take a lot of energy. And energy is always draining out of the human body as the years pass. So we're going to start now a practice which will continue all week of planting the seeds for more energy. We'll plant those seeds. And then the various techniques we're learning, like kidney flush or eating properly or doing yoga or proper posture or good time management, then all of those practices will bear fruit. And if we don't plant the seeds, then they won't. So we're going to start planting the seeds. So now spend a few minutes quietly. Relax. You don't have to sit totally. I don't care. Any way that's comfortable for you. Try to bring to mind someone that you know. It could be your family. It could be your friends. It could be someone at work. It could be just someone you know about. Choose someone that you know is having a problem with energy, meaning they feel tired easily. And then because of that, they can't get things done. Either they tire easily or they have trouble finishing projects or wrapping things up, accomplishing the things they want to do. They don't have energy in the immediate sense. They feel tired. And then they're unable to use energy to complete the things they want to finish. And they just end up with a lot of unfinished strings in their life. So we'll think for a few minutes. Think of a few candidates and then choose one person that you would like to help have more energy. Now please place your mind in that person's body at the level of their heart. Go back towards their spine. Imagine that you can run your mind across that spot and you feel a bump or a ball, which is their heart chakra. And try to place your mind in that area of the heart chakra of the person you know who's having trouble with having enough energy or strength. Try to hold your mind there. If you think of something else, bring it back. Now pierce the chakra, go into the ball. Bring your mind to the very center point of that chakra, the other person's heart chakra, at the level of their heart, in front of their spine, small ball. Bring your mind into the the center of that ball to a pinpoint in the center of that ball. Now crack open the inside of the chakra, just a small crack, crevice. And with your mind, give them life energy, soak. It's in Tibetan called soak. Grant them energy, power, vitality, as a glass, liquid glass. The color of liquid glass inside the heart chakra. Pour a little bit of liquid glass, soak energy, life energy, vitality into the middle of the deepest chakra of a human body. Stay there, surrender into it, enjoy the gift you are offering to them of life. Come back to your breath. And then slowly open your eyes at your own speed. Stretch. Turn around, whatever, twist.